The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, Joseph makes himself known to his family. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there have been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now, hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honour accorded to me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. Then he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brother talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, do this. Load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are directed to tell them, do this. Take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours.' So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded. He also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing. But to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away. And as they were leaving, he said to them, 'Don't quarrel on the way.' So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. And they told him, 'Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt.' Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. When they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, I am convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Barry. And thanks now to Derek, who's coming forward. Do you want to tell me for?
I'll use this one, I think. I don't like being electrified. The sermon sounded very nice when I thought about it, but when I write it down, it doesn't sound half as good.
It'll be better when you speak it out, Derek.
Thank you. Now I can't see my notes. Joseph, probably one of the most colourful characters in the Bible. Nobody gets the pun. Okay. Actually, to put the record straight, it wasn't colours at all. It was usually pure white, but it was a long flowing robe and very often decorated, which denoted that he was more or less the heir, which in actual fact he was, because he was the son of the promised woman. Now our text for the year, as you know, is be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Joseph certainly needed to have his mind renewed. But before we can renew something, we have to know exactly what the background was. So there's no need for me to tell you go through the actual story of Joseph, because I'm sure you know it. Even if you don't know it from the Bible, you can know it from the musical. But Joseph is certainly Joseph is part of God's perfect plan. As we read, go back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when God promised to Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. But as Joseph reviews his family history, and as we look into it, we see a history of barrenness of the wives, wife and maid swapping, drunkenness, downright lies, trickery, deception, rape, a desert chase and quarrelling, that's to name just a few. That was the background of Joseph's family. But against this background, Joseph was brought up, and in his life must have been affected. And rest assured that those of us who have had children, we know how much of our lives come out in future generations and future lives. We can see in our children the things that they do and the things that they say is very much a replica of what we used to say to them. And one of the first references to Joseph was that he brought bad reports of his brothers. And it seems that he too is tainted with the same brush as what his family was. His brothers lived immoral lives, and Joseph was more or less going to split on them. But he is now 17 years old and father's pet, and with the long robe to signify his superiority, it would be in his nature to get one over his brothers. At least his half-brothers, they weren't his actual brothers, because they were from a different mother. The family background had a profound effect upon a child's life, and as I said before, as parents, we need to ensure that our lives are lives of pure our lives are pure and upright. And our text again for the year is that we should not be conformed to that pattern, but we should be renewed. And Joseph certainly needed his mind to be transformed, because he is recognised as one of the best types of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus, in the Old Testament. And we can possibly, if I'm invited to preach again, we'll go through some of those factors later. Secondly, Joseph had a revelation from God. Not only was he the promised son, but also he had a couple of dreams. But the trouble was that instead of keeping it to himself and allowing the Lord to work it out, he blabbed it to his brothers. Now, he was already hated because he was the promised and the favourite son. I can almost hear Captain Mannering saying, "You stupid boy." He should have kept it to himself. And so many of us, or at least those of us who may have had some specific revelation about our personal future, we need to keep it to ourselves rather than blab it around to others to make us look good. And it's no wonder that Joseph was hated by his brethren. They would have known how he told tales of their misbehaviour, and they would be well aware of their father's favouritism. And favouritism in any family only goes to create jealousy. And it's one thing we should always, certainly those of us who've had children and have children now, we have to make sure we don't favour one over the other. But now he declares through his two dreams that he is going to rule over them. And of course, it's quite understandable. In Genesis 37 and verse 8, it says that they hated him even the more. It wasn't just a case of not liking him, but it says they hated him. And I can imagine that they thought the worst for him and sought ways and means of possibly getting rid of him. The other point is that it does seem rather a lack of thought on Jacob's part by sending him back to look for his brothers. And sometimes us parents make mistakes, and sometimes we don't do the right thing or the most sensible thing. And referring to Dad's army again, Sergeant Wilson, isn't it, says, "Do you think that's wise?" And sometimes we need to have the wisdom of God. And we need to pray for our parents, those of parents of our family, parents within our fellowship of our young people, that they need the wisdom of God and they need all his guidance imaginable to be able to look after our young people and to guide them in the way they should go. And so we see here Jacob sending Joseph to look for his brothers again to see how they fare. And is it any wonder? One wonders what Joseph had in mind. Excuse me. Was it a case of, well, I'm 17 now, and the scriptures say that he was well built and good looking. I can show them. I can put the matter straight with my brothers. Is this the time now when I can get even with them and put them straight now that we're all out of father's reach? Maybe I can even blacken their copybooks further by taking back home a further bad report. Or was it a case of, I'm scared, but I better go? And I've, reflecting on that, Joseph was one of the main types of our Lord, and one can see in this that Our Lord is in a similar situation in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this cup from me. He doesn't ask, will you? I'd like you to. But he deliberately says, take this cup from me. But thankfully he then adds, but nevertheless at your will I will. And Joseph says the same, but probably thinking, I'm scared, but I better go and do as Dad tells me, otherwise I might lose half his fortune. And so in Joseph we do see him being obedient to his father, although he probably didn't like the idea of going, yet he did do as he was told. So where to now, I wonder, what will become of my dreams? After they put him down the pit, I wonder what went through his mind while he was down that hole. Dark, probably damp, dismal. Where am I going to now? And so many of us have often been in that situation. We think we know where we're going. We think we know where God wants us to go. But very often they don't always turn out to be what we want them to be. And how many testimonies have we heard of those whose lives and plans have been halted by some tragedy or other? And God has turned their lives completely around, and they have wondered if God has abandoned them. But even Jesus, we read, had to learn obedience to the things he suffered. And I've had a lot of... That's always puzzled me. Surely Jesus was perfect right from the beginning, but he still had to learn to be obedient. And very often we have to go through times of difficulties, things going wrong, to learn to be obedient and to learn to go God's way. We find him now in Potiphar's household, and you know the situation with Potiphar's wife. He was probably about 19 by now, been in charge of the household for quite a while, well built and good looking, as we read in Genesis 29. And hounded by Potiphar's wife, it says, day after day. It's one thing just to have a searing look from somebody, but it's another thing entirely to be hounded by a woman day after day. Will he crack? Will he relent? Will he do as she wants? But here we do see that Joseph had his mind set on God. And he had his mind set on integrity. And so he doesn't follow the family trait, but he was honourable to his master and to God by not yielding to immorality. But he has to suffer for it. Turned over two pages, that means I'm halfway through. But it's almost impossible to calculate the damage done to each other and society by adultery and divorce, fellas and girls sleeping around. And Proverbs 5 and verse 3 is very potent. The lips of another man's wife may be as sweet as honey, but when it is all over, she leaves you nothing but bitterness and pain. And we see so much of that in our world today, and in our country, and in our land. And I'm sure that ladies and girls have just as big a responsibility as fellows to ensure integrity. I wrote these notes, first of all, on Wednesday week. That was in the afternoon, and in the evening on the 6 o'clock news, there was the story of Adam Johnson, the footballer, being put into jail for mishandling, misconduct with a girl of 15. But in listening to further comments, whereas I'm not in any way excusing the guilt of Johnson, I couldn't help but wonder what contribution the girl had made in his downfall. We need to pray for our young people. There is so much temptation and pressure these days to draw them away from the Lord and into sinful ways. They need our continued protective prayers. And we pray for their families too, their parents, that they might be guided. They need all the wisdom and the tact and understanding and guidance that's possible to give them for dealing with their children. It's interesting to note that through all that Joseph goes through, his putting down the pit, selling to the Ishmaelites, to Potiphar, his wife's seduction, imprisonment, the Bible does not record any complaint from Joseph. But my guess is that if he didn't complain, he must have wondered where God was in all of this. What of his dreams? Why did he have to suffer like this? Ever been in that position? Ever wondered where God is leading you to when things don't go the way you think they ought to? And I'm sure most of us have. But if God has promised something, rest assured he will always bring it to pass. It's interesting to note that the brothers of Joseph sold him to Ishmaelites. Now Ishmaelite also was a son of Abraham. That's in Genesis 16:11, but it also records in Genesis 25:18 that they lived apart from Abraham's other children. And so we can't think that when they received Joseph, the Ishmaelites, when they first bought him, they didn't think in terms. Perhaps Joseph might have thought that they would take the message back to Abraham, but obviously they didn't, because they lived apart. So let's move on now. Joseph is back in Pharaoh's house. He's come unscathed from Pharaoh's he's in Potiphar's household. He's come unscathed from Potiphar's wife's seduction. But he's finding himself back in prison because of it, because of obviously Potiphar must have believed his wife rather than Joseph's story. But so we see he's the two dreams of Pharaoh, 7 fat cows, then 7 thin cows, 7 full ears of corn, and then 7 thin ears. And 2 years earlier, Joseph had interpreted the baker's and butler's dreams. Now he is brought out of prison to interpret the king's dreams. And finally, we know the result. Because of his wisdom, because God had given him that word of knowledge, finally Joseph is exalted to be prime minister. And rest assured that if God has promised, then he can be trusted to work it out. If God has revealed his purpose to you, then he will bring it to pass without us trying to manipulate things, as Abraham did and so many of the others, by taking on for other people's wives and maids. We don't need any manipulation of ourselves. But God will work out his purpose in us. Joseph is now 30, so it's taken 13 years for all this to be worked out. And very often we think, oh yes, God has revealed me that, he's going to work and that will happen tomorrow. But it doesn't always plan out to be like that. Sometimes it takes a long time. And even in the things of God, sometimes we don't see results coming overnight, but we see them being worked out. I remember when I was asked to take over a Sunday school back many years ago, I sat down and wrote out, now what did I want to happen? and I wanted to see the children growing up, marrying within the fellowship, and having their own and setting up their own families. But it didn't work out that way. But 25 years later, I saw that the Sunday school teachers, as they had been paired off to take various classes, two teachers to one class, I saw those coming together and marrying and setting up their own families. It didn't work out as I planned, but it certainly did work out in that, but it took 25 years for me to see those results. And rest assured, those of us that have, of you that have, especially I think of Dave and Louise, that have led our young people for many years, they will see results for their labours. Rest assured. But now it seems that with the authority that Joseph has, there is a return to the old family traits. His brothers come to buy corn. They don't know anything about of where Joseph has gone and what has happened to him. And to all intents and purposes, they probably couldn't have cared less. But I'm sure it must have remained on their conscience. But as his brothers come to buy corn, why doesn't he reveal himself to them at their first visit? And this is where I think Joseph lets himself down. He knew who his brothers were. They might not have known him, but he would have known them. And he also knew the anguish that his dad must have gone through. First of all, hearing of the brothers' tales about his being killed by wild animals, but also that hurt doesn't go away. It stays with you for days on end and years on end. But instead he taunts them by putting their money back in their sacks. Then he wants to tear his young brother from his father's side, and he puts the silver cup in Benji's sack, simulating theft on his part. I think this is horrible of Joseph to do this despicable things. Was it the old family? Was it the old self coming back and returning to? Very often we often go back to our old nature, don't we? So many times, but the number of times we can come and come back to the Lord. And I think of so many of young people that I've known in the past that have come, they've said, yes, they want to be a Christian. They've gone on with God for a long time. But now, sadly, they're nowhere. They're back in the world. They don't fellowship with Christians anymore. But, and I certainly, not in this Bible, but my other Bible that I have every day, I've got a list of those young people whom we pray for every day. And I'm trusting that God will bring them back to himself. But here we see Joseph seems to be taking on the old family traits once again and causing so much hurt and anxiety, not only to his brethren, but also his dad, especially when he demands to see Benjamin, his younger brother. It must have struck a sword into Jacob's heart. And he says, it's recorded in Genesis 44, "You know that my wife Rachel bore me only two sons. One of them has already left me. He must have been torn to pieces by wild animals, because I have not seen him since he left. If you take this one from me now and something happens to him, the sorrow you would cause me would kill me, old as I am." That is the anguish and the pathos that is going through Jacob at this time, when Joseph demands to see Benjamin. But then we turn to our reading in Genesis 45. At last, Joseph breaks down and weeps as he reveals who he is to his brothers. As I say, why he couldn't have done it in the first place, I don't know. But if you're trying to run away from God, if you're trying to run away from a problem, God will always get you back again. He will always, I was going to say, hound you until you do come back, but that's not quite the right word. But he will throw his arms around you. He will tell you, remind you how much he loves you, and he will eventually bring you back to that place of heartbreak and of tears. I don't know you all, and maybe there is someone here today who needs to put some matter right with a fellow Christian, just a family member for that matter, or even to get right with God. So I suggest we remain quiet for a little while and examine our own hearts, and if necessary, let our hearts break, let our tears flow, and put it right. Thank you.